Loving Father in heaven, thank you for good music. Thank you, Lord, for talents that are being used for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for what you're doing in this building, in your house. Thank you what you are doing in each of our lives, each of our hearts. And I pray a special blessing upon each mother. Oh, Lord, none of us would be here without Mom. And I just thank you, Lord, for all the grandmothers that are here and the great-grandmothers. I just pray that you would bless every mother with strength, with courage, with wisdom, with compassion. Just bless. Lord, it's more difficult to be a mother and a father today than ever before. But Lord, you are able. I pray that none of these dear precious mothers here today would be discouraged, that everyone would be encouraged no matter what they may be going through. I pray that this would be a good Mother's Day, not because everything went just right, but because we know Jesus Christ, who loves the mothers. And Jesus, just please speak through me now as we get into this very important message of the Mark of the Beast, part two. In Jesus' name, we can all say amen. Amen. Let's say our motto together. Here we go, everybody. All right. If it's in the Bible, we want it. If it's not in the Bible, we don't want it. Take your Bible and go with me to the book of Revelation. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to show you the United States of America in Bible prophecy. I love this country. But we're on a bad path. We're in a bad place. Do you agree with that? Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Looking there at verse 1 to 10. I'm not going to read all these verses, but 1 through 10 identifies the first beast. And we have dealt with this last night. The first beast of Revelation 13 is none other than the Roman papal power, okay, the papacy. And that's not a new theory. Protestant reformers believe that. Look at verse 1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns. And on his head's a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. We discover that this is the Roman papal power. Did it have a setback? Did it receive a deadly wound? Yes. When the Pope was taken into what? Captivity. Who ordered that? Napoleon. That's right. Everybody say Napoleon. Napoleon said, I'm tired of the shenanigans and the exploits of the papacy. I'm sick of it. We're going to get rid of it. And so there were a number of things that he orchestrated, but one of those was to capture Pope Pius VI, take him into exile there in France, Valence, France, where he died a year and a half later. And everybody thought, the last pope has reigned. But you had to read the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. And that is, it would have a comeback. It would receive a deadly wound, but what would happen to the deadly wound? It would be healed. And so today, would you agree that deadly, going from a pope dying in captivity to what we have now, would you agree the deadly wound has been healed? Now that healing, though, is going to be full throttle when there is a national Sunday law. That's when it will receive all the power that it's ever had during the Dark Ages when it dominated the church, the churches, it dominated the world. Well, now the deadly wound is being healed like never before. But when the National Sunday Law goes forth, I'm telling you that that will be the sign of its complete healing. Now, I want you to notice that a beast in Bible prophecy, according to Daniel 7 and verse 17 and verse 23, Daniel 7, we've read that, Daniel 7, a beast represents a kingdom. And we discovered that these four beasts in Daniel 7 represented lion, represented Babylon, bear with three ribs in the mouth, Medo-Persia. The four-headed leopard with two sets of wings represented the Grecian Empire under the rule of Alexander the Great. And then his four generals fought over the empire, and it was divided after Alexander the Great died. And then the fourth creature with 10 horns represented the breakup of the Roman Empire, and it represented Rome, okay, pagan Rome, and then the divisions of Rome, or as we have it, Europe today. And then out of that, those 10 horns, a little horn would arise. That's the Antichrist. That's the papacy. So, but I want you to notice all of these, according to Daniel 7, these beasts represent kingdoms. Now, all of these beasts rise up out of the sea. Now, I know where I'm going, so really pay close attention to this, everybody. So, these beasts came up out of the tumultuous waters. And water in Bible prophecy represents what? Let's look. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, and looking there, verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which, this is Revelation 17, verse 15. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. In other words, a populated area. Peoples. Notice here, you've heard the expression a sea of people or a sea of faces there. So I want you to notice here, though, it says are peoples, multitudes, nations, tongues. It represents a populated area. So all of these empires arose out of a populated area. Now that's very significant, as we will discover. Let's go back to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. So we read here in verse number 5, and he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, claiming to forgive sins. And he was given authority to continue 42 months. So this Roman papal power would have a reign of terror that would go 1260 years. So that's how we can know the Antichrist is not in the future. The Antichrist has been around a long time, over a millennium. So I want you to notice here, though, it would have a reign of terror for 42 months. Well, what's how many days in a biblical month? 30. 42 times 30 is 1260. One Bible makes it very clear, one prophetic day equals a literal year. That's right. So this would be 1260 years. So it would have a rise of power. That happened in 538 AD. We covered that last night. Go 1260 years later. See, in 538 AD, it received power, absolute power by Roman decree. It received unprecedented political, religious power. In 538 AD, it was declared by Roman legal decree that the Pope would be the head of all churches, the definer of doctrine, and the corrector of heretics. That ushered in the Dark Ages, that kind of unprecedented power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So what's interesting is you go 1260 years later, it culminates in 1798. When the Pope went into captivity. So watch this. That makes it clear that this time period would run out and there'd be the last acts of the drama. Look now at verse 10. Let's look at 9, verse 9. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Was the papacy leading people into captivity? Yes. Would it go into captivity? Yes. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. died a year and a half later. How about that? Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So if you have a pen and you don't mind marking in your Bible at all, I recommend that you write small numerals, numbers, small numbers. And the verse 10 I have here in my Bible, 1798. That's when that verse was fulfilled. So verse 10, because we're going to identify the United States in Bible prophecy, but it goes together with the papacy, okay? So 1798 is when it went into captivity, all right? So verse 11 now introduces, I want you to notice here, did you notice in verse 1 that there's 10 horns? That represents the breakup of the Roman Empire. So the Antichrist would arise sometime after the breakup of the Roman Empire. And then these horns had crowns on them because these are monarchies. See the 10 divisions of Rome? These are monarchies, kingly powers. All right? Keep that in mind. Now look here at verse 11. This is the debut, stage set for America. This is the United States of America, the beast from the earth. Then I saw another beast, another kingdom, coming up of the earth. All of the others, including the Antichrist beast there in 13 verse 1, all of them arose out of the sea, out of a populated area. This beast, a new beast, a different beast, is not arising from a densely populated area. It's arising in a unpopulated or sparsely populated area. It comes up out of the earth. And the timing is everything. We want a time frame for verse 11. Verse 10. Verse 10 sets it up. 1798. So around 1798, here comes a new power rising up out of a sparsely populated area. My friends, there's only one nation that could possibly be. It's the United States of America. That was arising around 1798. Have you ever heard of 1776, Declaration of Independence and so forth? So we were, yes, they discovered, and the pilgrims discovered this place in 1620, but in terms of it declaring its independence and starting to form its government and so forth, this would happen around the 1798 time frame. And so this is very significant that the papacy received a setback, and at that time, this is a new power, a new nation arising, America, out of a sparsely populated area. But there's more. And it says here, he had two horns like a lamb. The term lamb is used in the book of Revelation 29 times. How many times? 29 times. Who does the lamb represent? Jesus Christ. And so here, there's something about this nation of America that is like Jesus. There's something about it. And even to this day, there's something about this nation that really sets us apart from a lot of countries in the world. And so, how many have ever heard the expression, free as a lamb? When you think of a lamb, do you think of a predator? Huh? Do you think of fangs? Do you think of growls or hissing and so forth? I don't know. Is it even possible for a lamb to get upset? I don't know. But anyway, I need to study. Sweetheart, we need to do a documentary and study about lambs. I'd like to be able to have better sermon illustrations about that score. So something about this country that is lamb-like. Lamb-like. Well, that's interesting. Let's read on. And spoke like a dragon. Uh-oh. Would you agree this is a contradiction? Two horns like a lamb. That's positive. We're good up until that point. But it would speak like a dragon. How does a nation speak? Through its laws and decrees. Through its legislation. That's how a nation speaks. Two horns. Horns like a lamb. Well, here's another clue. These horns don't have crowns on them. Now, chapter 13, verse 1, we already read that those 10 horns represented the monarchies of Europe and so forth. They had crowns on them. The horns had crowns, but not this one. In other words, here is a nation that is not a monarchy. It's a democracy. It's a republic. Would you agree? This is uniquely description of the United States of America, a professed Christian nation. And we were founded upon, this is very significant, our country was founded upon Christian principles. Our nation was founded upon Christian principles. And one of those principles is not everybody must be a Christian in this nation or we'll kill you. No. In the United States of America, there is two sources of power. Two horns. Horn denotes power. And here you have two horns, religious and political, free as a lamb. Christian principles. Aren't you glad that there is religious freedom for us to gather together here and not have to go through checkpoints and not have to get a passport out or get the fingerprinted and so forth? How many are glad you just came because the Holy Spirit led you to come here tonight? So religious freedom and political freedom. We have the freedom coming up soon. We're going to vote. It's not a monarchy. President Biden, as much as many people may like him or not like him, it's not a monarchy. His son is not going to be the next president. You are going to vote. That's called political freedom. Now, yeah, we know I'm not going to get political. Please don't. Let's not go there. Okay. That's not the point of tonight. The point of tonight is that the United States of America is going to join hands with the papacy and enforce a national Sunday law. And I'm going to amplify that more tonight. Because would you agree, that seems really outlandish. That really seems like over the top, Mark. Come on, this is like wild theories and so forth. Well, don't believe it. Unless you see calm reasoning of the Word of God. And by the way, I want to encourage you. We have a stack. Pastor Vasily drew your attention to, we have a stack of this book, The Great Controversy. If you want to know in depth of what we've been presenting in this Amazing Prophecies 3-week series, this is the book. This is the book. And a chapter that I've been encouraging some of you to read, it's called Liberty of Conscience Threatened. And I know some of you started to read this as well. I urge you, read this book and those final chapters, let's say about the last 7 chapters of that book. This book goes through the Dark Ages. It goes through about the rise of the papacy. It goes through about apostate Protestantism. It goes through about the mark of the beast. It deals with the future, about the second coming of Christ, about the plagues, the tribulation. It's all there. So I urge you, read that book. And how many like to read? Please say you like to read. Do you like to read? You know, this is a good read. I'm telling you, get out your ruler, get out a pen, get out a highlighter and so forth, get out your notebook, start making some notes, because I'm going to warn you, it goes in depth. How many like a mental challenge some of the time? All right, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. It's the kind of thing, though, I find when I read it, I have to keep reading it over and over and over to assimilate it and digest it and so forth. So, you know, you might find like, okay, I'm going to read a page and then I'm going to go get a drink of water. And come back and read a page, and okay, I'm going to go walk the dog, right? You know, just you know, but some of you might like, look, I can just read it on through, and then I can go, however you want to do it, read the book. It'll be a blessing to you. So, the United States of America was arising around 1798 in a sparsely populated area coming up out of the earth. Two horns like a lamb. Horn denotes power. This would be a powerful nation founded upon two horns, religious and political freedom, not a monarchy, but it would speak like a dragon. So it would go ultimately against its lamb-like principles. There would be a loss of political and religious freedom. That's how it would speak like a dragon. When you think of a dragon, hideous, monster, tyrannical, oppressive, dictatorial, all these kind of words conjure up in our minds when we think about speaking like a dragon, threatening people. As a matter of fact, look at verse 16, speaking about the United States. And he causes all, causes, that is, enforces all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Well, what's the mark of the beast? The Bible makes it very clear the beast is the Roman papal power, and they claim that the mark of their authority is Sunday observance. So they claim, the papacy claims, that Sunday observance is a sign of their authority. So when that's enforced through a national Sunday law, that's America speaking like a dragon, professing to be Christian, professing to be free, but doing contrary to that. Free if you obey the government. How many agree? How many are thankful there's religious and political freedom in America? However, we are seeing that being chipped away. We see freedom eroding. My friends, I am very, very concerned about the trajectory of the United States of America. I am gravely concerned. There is an all-out attack on children, and I'm sick of it. I'm absolutely appalled to think that in America, we would have an educational system that is systematically attacking children while professing to be a blessing to them. I'm telling you, we live in a day when evil is called good and good is called evil. And unfortunately, it's politics is right in the center of all of this. We need to pray for patience. Because when I see some of the things that goes on, I'll tell you, it tugs on my heart. And I stir with a righteous indignation. You know, righteous indignation is biblical, by the way. You know, you should be upset. You should be tormented as you observe different things. You know, if you have a lackadaisical, flippant, you know, dormant way of responding to things, well, that's your cup of tea, whatever. But as for me and myself, I get upset. Now, the only thing that I know to do is preach. Preach Jesus Christ, because Jesus alone is the only answer. Politics is not going to solve everything. I do believe that God has people that are Democrat and God has people that are Republicans. So let's just be careful how we don't allow the devil to divide us. You might be Democrat, and I might say, you know, I'm Republican, but I'm going to respect you. That's the United States of America, where you can have your political stance, but you still get along with people. Amen? Because they will know us that we're lamb-like. How many do not want to speak like a dragon? How many want to be lamb-like? Free as a lamb, giving people space, being tolerant, yes, of things you hate, but you know, you can't force morality on everybody. You can't force people to pray. You can't force people to read the Bible. You can't force people to go to church. You can't force people to do the Ten Commandments. You can't force that. And so it's very, very important. So let's keep going here now. Verse 12. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. In other words, in the last days, the United States of America is going to force, try to compel everybody, contrary to their conscience, to worship the first beast, the papacy. So there's going to be some type of false worship that is forced. And the day of worship that came from the papacy that will be enforced is Sunday observance. And soon the United States is going to say, that day of worship that came from the papacy here in the United States, you'll hear the president and everybody else talking about, we need to have everybody honor Sunday. We need a law in the land. We must have a national Sunday law. And already on the books, there are blue laws. Right now, they're even here in Texas, right now they're dormant, which means it's kind of antiquated, it's kind of relegated to not being kind of meaningless and so forth. But in some states, there's a little more prominent than other times. But right now, seems to be just settled down and dormant and so forth. But Sunday laws were actually authorized by the Supreme Court in 1961. But subsequent, it's just kind of, they've just kind of been dormant because we're so secularized here in the United States of America. But that can change overnight. The pendulum can swing overnight, and all of a sudden everybody wants to get religious because of natural disasters and the climate change and greenhouse effects, et cetera, all sorts of immorality. There's so many different reasons why people are going to say we need a national Sunday law, because they believe that's going to be the solution to all of our problems prevailing here in the United States of America. And so, is this making sense? So causes the earth, enforces, that's speaking like a dragon, to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. He, in the United States, performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. There's going to be false miracles worked. And everybody's going to think that God is behind this Sunday law movement. They're going to be thinking like, well, God is with them. Look at these miracles. Well, people are being delivered from their wheelchair. They're being delivered from cancer. They're being delivered from heart disease. Look at all this happening. Certainly God is behind this movement for Sunday law. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So speaking like a dragon is going to be manifested by an image set up. And this image is going to speak like a dragon. This image is going to speak. So image, it's an image to the first beast. What is that? It's looking like the papacy looked in the Dark Ages. To have an image to the beast means something is set up here in the United States that looks like the papal power looked when it oppressed people with force, false worship. So this image to the beast is church and state uniting, which would be a violation of the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We have religious freedom and political freedom because there's a wall between church and state. You say, oh, I don't think there should be any wall between church and state. Really? Do you think, how would you like it if the Catholic Church is all band together and pressured the government to have Sunday laws? We have the Supreme Court. It says right in the top of it, equal justice for all. Thank God for religious and political freedom. But that is going to be passed. The new day is coming, and it's a dark one. There's a storm stirring in the horizon. When I watch TV, watch the news, I see it all coming together. Everything is connected. Everything in the news, everything is connected. Everything is leading up to the final showdown of the ages, the test over God's Ten Commandments. You see, in the Garden of Eden, there was the first test. And the test was over. God said, you can eat of any of these trees except one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So God proposed a test, not against Adam and Eve, but for them, but he was giving them the choice to be faithful to God or to do their own thing. So that was over partaking of a tree or not partaking of a tree. Today, people would consider that's a trivial issue. No, it was a very important issue. If God can test this Adam and Eve over a piece of fruit, I think he can test us over the Sabbath day. God will test us. It's all through the Bible. And those tests can help us get stronger. So, Sunday being enforced, the image is set up. Church putting pressure on the state to enforce a Sunday law, which is against the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Bible makes it very clear that there must be no law respecting establishment of religion or exercising thereof. No. Let's go to the screen here now. Get right into it. I'm going to skip some of this because I've already gone through it. So in 2015, Pope Francis spoke before a joint session of the U.S. Congress for the first time in history. The eyes of the nations are upon the Vatican, the papal structure prepared for worldwide control. Ambassadors from most countries of the world work closely with the Vatican. It would make war and persecute the saints. The Roman papal power is guilty of destroying 50 million saints during the long, bloody, dark ages. But here's more. If you understand the seal of God first, you are better prepared to know what the mark of the beast is, all right? Because this seal is a matter of life and death, we cannot afford to engage in blind guesswork or idle speculation about what it is. So what is the seal of God? The key is to find out where the seal of God is placed. That's right. Where is it placed, everybody? Remember we studied that last night? Right there. Here's what the Bible says, Revelation 7. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or in any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God, what? On their foreheads. So the seal will be on or in, used interchangeably, on or in the foreheads. So I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him. This is right out of the fourth commandment. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Is there a commandment that tells us to do that? The seventh day Sabbath. That's right. So then a third angel followed him, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God. What is that? The seven last plagues. So don't worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Notice the central issue in the last days revolves around worship. True versus false worship. Then listen carefully to the next verse that describes those who worship the Creator. Notice this verse describes those who are preaching God's final warning to the world with a compelling loud voice. So if you're wondering, Mark, how would I know what church to go to? Well, you know I'm going to say, just don't go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church. You expect me to say that? But why would I say, go to the Seventh-day Adventist Church? It's very easy. If you believe in the cross of Jesus Christ, that means you believe in Jesus Christ who said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So I want to find a church that really loves Jesus enough to obey him. Because anybody can say anything. And so I want to find a church that's in harmony with all 10 of the commandments, not just 9 of them. 95% of churches are in harmony with 9 of the commandments. Of course, the Catholic Church deleted the second commandment and changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. The Catholic Church did that. But I want to be part of a church that uplifts all the commandments, so it's got to be a Seventh-day keeping church. Friends, that eliminates 99% of churches. So I'll let you decide what you want to do. And so here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. These are the ones who do not worship the beast or receive the mark of the beast. So it's very clear. This is simple. If you want to follow truth in the last days, you must find the church that uplifts the three angels' messages and is preaching the Sabbath throughout the whole world. And I'm thankful that these messages you've been hearing night by night are being preached around the world as I speak. On our YouTube channel alone, we've had 32 million views on our channel. That's God. With about 400 broadcasts, 400 videos on there, and about and reaching the world. Reaching the world. And I can tell you, people of all different denominations are accepting it when they hear the truth of the Sabbath. They text me, they email me, they phone call me or my staff, and they'll say, "We believe what you've been saying. We believe this is true." And I praise God. We get those messages constantly. And it's truth that sets people free. Can you say amen? The truth shall set you free. And so is there a commandment actually uses the word worship or of the Creator? Yes, the seventh-day Sabbath. So notice, the seal is given before the tribulation. We've read that in Revelation 7. Hold back those winds of strife until the people get the seal. Number two, those who are sealed are protected from the seven last plagues. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Aren't you glad that if you follow the Lord, you honor the Sabbath, you will not receive any of these plagues upon you? They'll be falling all around you, but not on you. There it is, friends. This is why I can sleep at night. When I think about it, okay, the plagues are going to come, but not on me, not on you, not on your family. How many are thankful it pays to follow Jesus Christ? And so that's why I can study this. I can study if it said all of the righteous are going to get all these punishing plagues, I'd be like, wow, I don't want to study Bible prophecy. But I'd love to study Bible prophecy because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the Lamb that wins. The dragon doesn't win. The Lamb wins. Amen? So everyone will either receive the seal of God or the mark of the beast. It's just that plain and simple. So listen, if you go to a church, yes, do you preach about the mark of the beast? Most churches are going to look at you and say, what are you talking about? And then there'll be other churches, oh, no, we can't know that. We don't know what it is. Well, let me go to another church. Knock, 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 knock. Do you know who the Antichrist is? Oh, we don't know who the Antichrist is. It's coming sometime in the future. Thank you. Knock, 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 knock. Why do you keep Sunday instead of Saturday? Oh, Jesus rose on that day, and the apostles went to church on that day, and so forth. But then you study a little bit deeper, and you discover, wait a minute, they went to church every single day, it says in Acts chapter 2. But the Bible never called the first day of the week the Lord's Day. Never called it the Lord's Day. Knock, 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 knock. Yes. Are you preaching about the seal of God? I'm telling you, go ahead and do it. Go ahead and ask different pastors. Go ahead and ask different churches. Are you preaching about the mark of the beast? Are you preaching about the seal of God? Are you preaching about the Antichrist? Are you preaching about the tribulation? Are you preaching about the seal of God, the mark of the beast? And how about the United States of America? You can knock, 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 knock. Yes, yes. Are you preaching about the United States in Bible prophecy? Now, friends, you might be thinking, Mark, how can it be? I mean, why doesn't everybody know this? That's the point. Why do you think we mailed out 30,000 brochures? Because we're trying to get the word out. And the word is going out. He led you to these meetings. Now, I'm telling you that I have done meetings like this, speaking to 1,500 people. But like I say, millions of people are hearing it. The truth is going out. But truth is never going to be popular. Never. Truth is never popular, but it's the truth. And we want the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so the seal is opposite the mark of the beast. So no wonder people are having a hard time knowing what the mark of the beast is, because they don't know what the seal of God is. But when you know the seal of God, then you just say, well, what's the opposite of the seal of God? The mark of the beast. And so, number five, the saved have a seal placed on their forehead. The forehead is a symbol of decisions. We must choose whom we will serve. And if it seems evil, to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So with our mind, we choose to serve Jesus Christ alone. Amen? So Revelation 7, 1 to 3 presents not only a sobering prophecy about the tribulation, but also the good news that God will seal his faithful servants in their foreheads. So the forehead is a symbol of decisions and choices. This is not a literal seal, but a symbolic one, a spiritual one. The forehead is a symbol of decision to follow God or man. It has to do with our moral choices. The frontal lobe function of the brain is where we discern, remember, choose, judge of what we believe. So those who choose to serve God and keep his commandments receive the seal of the living God. You don't go to heaven by accident. You go because you chose to go that way. Very important. Feelings are misleading. I can tell you from my own personal experience, Mark Fox's feelings are not reliable. We choose to follow the truth of Jesus Christ. That's stability. Every look at your neighbor and say, choose Jesus. So every person must choose whom they will obey from their heart, self or the Savior. We can't have it both ways. We got to choose. I got to choose. Am I going to try to serve Mark Fox? Give me a break. No thanks. Or are we going to follow Jesus Christ? Choose Jesus Christ. Man versus Jesus. We must a servant either of the, we want to serve Jesus. So notice, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? We must choose. That's Romans 6:16. We must choose life. Choose to obey God rather than man. Number six, the seal is not literal, but symbolic and spiritual. This is the covenant I will make with them after these days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and write them in their minds. I will write them. Hebrews 10:16. Put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. So what goes in the mind and heart? The law of God. What else goes there? A seal. Is there a connection between the seal of God and the law of God? Yes. So God places both the law of God and the seal of God in the foreheads of those who decide to obey God. So you see that? These two go together. You've got the law of God going into the forehead, and you've got the seal of God. The seal is in the law of God. Watch this. Come here to say some things. The seal is in the law of God. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. Isaiah 8:16. Well, there you have it. There you have it. Isn't that powerful? There you have it. The seal of God and the law of God go together. They're inseparable. The seal is in the law. And when the law goes into our mind, in the last days, we accept all of the law of God. We are receiving the complete seal of God. God writes his law in our hearts and minds. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Notice the word I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, in and on are used interchangeably, just as mind and heart are used interchangeably. When I tell my sweetheart and I say, I love you with all my heart, the heart doesn't think. What thinks? The mind, right? But I don't say to her, honey, I love you with all my mind. Happy Mother's Day. I have it in my mind. So the point is that this is symbolic, isn't it? God writing the law in our mind or heart, that's symbolic. So the seal of God is symbolic and the mark of the beast is symbolic. And so I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. Psalms 40 and verse 8. So both the seal of God and the law of God is to be written in our hearts in these end times, which includes the Sabbath. How many agree? That's one of the things that's in the law of God. But you need to go with all of the law of God, because the Bible says in James 2:10, you know what it says there? Break one, you break them all. Look at what's hanging over your head, everybody. All right, young people, I want you to pay attention to this one. We got chandeliers here. Well, let's say there were just 10 chains. You know, in the chain there were just 10 links. Thank you. 10 links, that's what I was looking for. 10 links, all right? Obviously, there's probably more like about 30 links or whatever. So let's say we were just 10. All right, and let's say one of the lights went out. And I got a ladder, and up the ladder I go. And meanwhile, it's the one that's over your head. So whichever one is, let's pretend it's just right over your head. And I'm up there, and we're going to change this bulb. And I said, okay, while I'm up here, if you don't mind, I'm just going to cut, there's 10 links here holding the chandelier. I'm just going to cut one of them. Are you okay with that? I said, look, no, not five links. I'm not going to cut five links. Only one. You say, Pastor Mark, it has the same effect. You're going to knock me out. So people want to pick and choose. The Ten Commandments are not up for wholesale. The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. 10 Commandments are coming from God Almighty. And we must reverence God. We must respect God more than we do any family member, more than we do any pastor or church or whatever. We must honor God. We must honor God. His Ten Commandments are holy. And in the last days, God is testing people over His Ten Commandments, in particular, the day of worship. Testing them. And most are going to say, I'm sorry, God approves me doing it on Sunday, and I'm not going to worry about seventh day. Well, everybody has to give an account to God. But what are we going to do on Judgment Day? What are we going to do? What are we going to say? When God said, no, I shared the truth with you. We're going to be held accountable. Would you agree? It's okay to be serious. Amen? It's okay to take things very seriously. We need a little bit of the fear of God in us. Amen? I mean, come on now. You got the plagues being poured out, the tribulation, the mark of the beast. These are urgent times. We can't be flippant about this. We can't just say, you know, well, take it or leave it and so forth. This is urgent. This is serious. This is sobering. Would you agree? In the last days, God has a very sobering message, but it comes with hope. It comes with hope. Number 9, the seal of God is placed on the foreheads of those who keep the commandments of God, including the Sabbath. If you're not going to keep the Sabbath, you're not going to get the seal of God, because the seal is in the law. Seal the servants of our God on their foreheads. Sealed ones keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. Number 10, those who worship the Creator receive the seal, who worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of waters. So, worship the Creator and keep the day of worship that the Creator gave us, you get the seal of God. Number 11, the Holy Spirit is sealing us. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. And so therefore, we must listen to the faintest whisper of the Holy Spirit if we want to be sealed. We must cooperate with the Spirit of our God in our hearts. Then we have nothing to fear. Number 12, the seal is connected with the Sabbath. The Sabbath commandment is alluded to in the first angel's message of Revelation 14. Quote, worship Him who created heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water. Revelation 14:7. Compare this to the fourth commandment. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Friends, I want to be part of a church that's preaching this. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to be part of something that's clearly from God and has God's signature on it and has God's approval on it, has God's affirmation upon it. Even if it's the smallest church, I still want to be part of it. I want to be part of a movement. I don't want to be part of just another denomination. I want to be part of a movement. I want to be part of a movement that's going and working around the world, where the messages are going with power and authority. I repeat, as I'm preaching here, they're preaching this message around the world. And I say, praise God. But I want you to notice here that this commandment is the most forgotten commandment, and it begins with the word remember. How about that? It's the most forgotten commandment, and it begins with the word remember. So all you have to do is say, yes, are you remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy here? Oh, yeah, come. On Sunday, we have our Sabbath. Thank you very much. You move on. I'm telling you, go ahead and ask the questions. Because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the final warning to mankind in Revelation 14, 6 to 12, draws attention to the most neglected of the Ten Commandments. Revelation 14, 7 presents an urgent message to worship Him who made. Worship our Creator and keep the Creator's day of worship. Number 13, the seal of God shows His ownership and authority. We belong to God. The Sabbath is a sign who we belong to. How many agree? We did not evolve. We were created. And the Sabbath is a reminder, He created me. I'm going to worship Him because He made me. You know, just like I should give honor to our mothers because we wouldn't be here without the mothers. And by the way, you wouldn't be here without your dad too. Say amen. It is Mother's Day. I just thought I'd throw that in there. But we come from God. Amen. Number 14, in ancient times, watch this. In ancient times, kings sealed or signed things into law. A matter of fact, in the day, in the name of King Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's signet ring, Esther 3:12. You know what? They would have sometimes a ring, a kingly ring, that would have an engravement on it, that would have an image on it, and it would impress down upon pliable clay or melted wax and impress the image onto that. So God wants to take the law of God and impress it into our heart. But God can't do that on a hard heart. Our hearts must be pliable. Our hearts must be melted by the love of Jesus Christ. Are you here with me tonight? And God can then impress the image of His likeness, the image of Jesus, the image of Christ's likeness, and He wants to impress it. He doesn't force it onto us. We have to be pliable clay and melted wax. How many want to be humble? Amen. Be humble. Be humble. And so, number 15, those who are sealed, I'm going to cover this. Number 15, those who are sealed keep the commandments, including the seventh-day Sabbath. So Revelation 14, it must include the fourth because if you break one, you break them all. All right? So this is powerful. Number 16, a seal has three elements, name, title, and territory. And only the Sabbath commandment in the law has those three essential elements. That's powerful. So remember, this is symbolic language, everybody. So a seal has three elements, name, title, territory. Just like a presidential seal, be President Joe Biden of the United States of America. And so what would a seal look like there? Well, who is he? He's the president. That's his title. What's his name? Joe Biden. What's his territory? United States of America. How much longer? Anyway, we'll skip that part. So the Sabbath is the only commandment that reveals the lawgiver. This is the only one. I mean, check this out. I tell you, we've been going deep. This is the meat of the word. This is the only one that contains all three essential elements in the seal. Only the Sabbath commandment. The Sabbath commandment is unique, which is name, title, and territory. That's right. Notice, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. That's His name. Notice, for in 6 days the Lord made. What's another word for made? What do you call Him? Creator. So His title is Creator. What about territory? The heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. Those three essential elements are right there in the fourth commandment. The seal is the Sabbath commandment. And so we are right now living in sealing times. God is wanting to seal His people and to prepare us for the mark of the beast. Aren't you glad you're not going to get the mark of the beast? Because you get the seal of God. Amen? Yeah. If you get the seal, you don't worry about the mark of the beast. Amen? Yeah. And so As you can see, the Sabbath commandment contains all three essential elements of a seal. Thank God for truth. Thank God for truth. Number 17, seal and sign are used interchangeably. For example, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith. So just like the seal goes in or on the forehead, used interchangeably, so the seal is, well, what does the Lord say? The Sabbath is a sign or seal of his authority. So number 18, the seal is the Sabbath. Isaiah 8:16 and Exodus 31:16-17. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath to be a sign or seal between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them or makes us holy or saves us. So the Sabbath is a sign that he, Jesus, is saving you. I love the Sabbath. I love the Sabbath. Thank you, Jesus. I love the Sabbath. You know, we just had a Sabbath yesterday, right? Well, guess what? There's another one coming. I'm looking forward. Plan your week around the Sabbath. Plan your week. Plan to not be doing work on that day. Plan to enjoy that day. Go out in nature in the afternoon if you want. Go visit somebody in the hospital. Go visit somebody that's a shut-in. Or go on a picnic, or unless they're having a fellowship meal here. Do we have a fellowship meal this coming Sabbath? Good. There you go. We can make plans around this. And so the Sabbath is a sign that God is sanctifying us. What is that? Let me challenge young people with this one. What does it mean that the Sabbath is a sign that the Lord is sanctifying us? The word sanctify, he means he's making us holy. Hallelujah. I can't make myself holy. It's a miracle. It's a miracle for my heart to change and want to be more loving and more kind and more patient, more Christ-like. That's a miracle. And the Sabbath is a reminder that he can do it. And no wonder the word Sabbath, Shabbat, means rest. The Sabbath is a sign that you can rest in Jesus. Amen. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, verse 28. Thank God that we can have rest. Hallow my Sabbath, and they will be a sign or seal between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, Mark 2, 27 and 28. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. And it is a sign or seal between me and the children of Israel forever. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. Heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day rested and was refreshed. Can I tell you, as you observe the Sabbath, you're refreshed. Nobody can truly tell me that as I keep the Sabbath, I'm being legalistic. That's like saying it's for me to hug my wife is legalistic. It's a joy to hug my wife. I'll hug you in a little bit. Amen? Amen. Here's the issue. Who really loves God? Anybody can say anything. That's why God set up a test in the last days. If you love me, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How many want to say, yes, yes, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Yes. Look to your neighbor and say, say yes to Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So the Sabbath is a sign of a character change by the power of Jesus. There's only one thing you can take to heaven, your character. And your character is made up of your habits. And if you have the habit of trusting Jesus, talking about Jesus, thinking about Jesus, loving Jesus, boom, you get the character of Jesus. Now that's a growing thing. Everything doesn't happen overnight, but what should happen immediately is, I surrender to Jesus Christ. I don't have everything figured out, but I know he's got it all figured out. And I'm going to trust Jesus. I choose to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I will honor the Sabbath because, Jesus, you're Lord of the Sabbath day. It is a sign or seal of the Jesus' power to create us and also to recreate us. Created me a clean heart, Psalms 51:10. Would you agree? He created us the first time, and he's doing it again, but this time spiritually. How many agree? You got to be born again. We've all been born once. You got to be born again. And that is all talk, hallelujah. It's talking about the new birth, a new life. Can I say this, especially young people, don't be thinking, young people, that it's, you know, when you get older, then you can understand these things or you can follow Jesus then. This message is for young people as well. Amen. And so notice, it is a sign or seal of Jesus' power to create. The Sabbath is a reminder, Mark, I made you and I'm going to remake you. That's the power of Jesus. That's the power of Jesus. Think about it. Come on now. You can't go to heaven holding on to yourself. You must go home to heaven holding on to Jesus Christ. So number 19, the seal is a sign of loyalty and of obedience. Number 20, the seal is associated with true worship of our Creator and on His holy day. And for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Isaiah 66:22-23. Notice that even in the earth made new, we will come together on the seventh-day Sabbath to worship our Creator and Redeemer. So now every Sabbath we gather together to worship God is a beautiful foretaste of heaven. I could be doing a lot of things different than what I'm doing tonight. Why is this so important? Because God says, Mark, this is the pivotal message in the last days. The cross and the commandments. The cross and the commandments. Does that make sense? The cross and the commandments, they go together. If you love me, we love him because he first loved us. If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. Amen. You are worthy, O Lord. Read this together with me. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Hallelujah. So, number 20. Notice how in-depth we go to the seal of God. I'm giving you probably a lot more than you can really assimilate and digest all in one message, but I believe you can do it. I believe you can do it because God would never lead you here if he wouldn't help you to understand what's being presented. So God made the seventh day holy. No man can make a day holy. No man. So sometimes people say, all right, that's it. I keep every day holy. No, you don't. Because you can't make a day holy. God made the day holy. It belongs to Jesus Christ. It's his special day. So besides, it says you don't work on that day. But God says, 6 days you can labor. You can 6 days. Oh, okay, Mark, well, then I'll just keep one out of seven. No, God says the seventh day. Amen. So God wrote and spoke the Ten Commandments. And when he said, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God calls the Sabbath my holy day. Number 22, the seal is associated with the number seven of the seventh day Sabbath. A matter of fact, thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. How much more plain could that be? But I'm telling you, the test is coming. You may think yourself strong now. You're saying, no. Okay, I'm not going to get. No, you will give it up unless you stay close to Jesus. Because it's not enough to know the truth intellectually. You got to say, Lord, my heart belongs to Jesus Christ. Because you know what? You can be as wise as Solomon and end up making a lot of mistakes like Solomon made, marrying hundreds of women. King Solomon married hundreds of women. Was that wise? That's called dumb. That's called stupid. That's called being a fool. Did he talk about not being a fool? And then he became the fool. In other words, you can know the truth like he knew it and not follow it. How many agree? You got to go from the head to the heart. And then from the heart to the feet, you follow whatever God tells you to do. Amen. 10 fingers. 10 toes. 10 commandments. It's not rocket science. It's basic. It's fundamental. It's simple. But it's love. It has to do with love because think about it. God loves us so much, He commands us from sunset Friday night, sunset Saturday night, I want you to keep it holy. In other words, do you hear this? It's about love. First 4 commandments, love God. Last 6 commandments, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's just that simple. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Put God first, put others second place, and then you come in last. Joy stands for Jesus, others, and you come last. Look to your neighbor and say, that makes sense. Now, I know our time is up, but I'm not quite done yet. Seventh day is mentioned 3 times in these 2 verses. This is the first time when the seventh day mentioned in the Bible. God's special number throughout Scripture is the number 7. Also notice that God gave the Sabbath at the beginning of time, long before the existence of a Jew. Adam and Eve were not Jews. They were just Adam and Eve. And the Sabbath was given long before there was a Jew. The commandments are for everybody. Everybody. Would you agree whether you're Jew or Gentile, it's wrong to kill, steal, commit adultery, bear false witness, or break the Sabbath. So notice the Sabbath was meant for everyone. The book of Revelation is full of the significant number 7. Consider how significant the number 7 is in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we have Revelation 1, 7 stars in Jesus' right hand, 7 angels, a lamb with 7 eyes, 7 spirits, 7 horns, 7 thunders, dragon with 7 heads, 7 churches, 7 seals, 7 trumpets, 7 plagues, and you got that Sabbath day. How about that? The final contest between good and evil revolves around the 10 commandments, especially the seventh day Sabbath. Seal is based on God's authority versus man's authority. Those who are sealed preach the 3 angels' messages around the world. No one has the mark of the beast yet, nor the seal of God yet. The conclusion is, to this part, the Sabbath is the seal of God. Now let us discover what is the mark of the beast. Now, was I thorough about the seal of God? Very irrefutable. Very irrefutable. And I know you might say, well, Mark, I'm trying to, you know, connect the dots and so forth. Just keep it simple. Keep it simple. In the last days, there's a test of love. All right? I want you to think about that. In the last days, there's a test of love. Because we don't go to heaven unless we love Jesus. And the way we show our love is by obedience. Isn't that the way with children? If children tell you, Mom, Dad, I love you, but I'm not going to listen to you. Come on, young people, listen up. If you love your mother and father, you will obey them. Amen? Amen. Come on now, I'm preaching tonight. Amen. Is that true? By the way, the 4th commandment is important, but maybe I need a few nights to deal with the 5th commandment about honor your love of your father and mother. Amen. That's a beautiful commandment. Hey, look. I'm going to be 65. My mom is 86, almost 87. She'll be 87 this year. I still honor her. And she still gives me counsel, unsolicited. It's free advice. I guess that's what mothers do. Happy Mother's Day. My mom. And sometimes she'll go, oh, I'm sorry. You know, she'll apologize. But I know the next day she'll be, you know, you should do this. And you should, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't get it. And I, you know what? I love it. Because I know my mom's not always going to be there, just like my dad. You know, he passed away in December. But my wife will tell you, I seek to honor them. I seek to honor them. And by the way, this is something you probably never really thought of. Honor your parents means also after they passed away. I want you to think about that. If your parents have passed away, but they gave you good advice that you know God wanted you to do it, even though they passed away, you ought to follow their counsel if it came from God. You think about that. If your parents told you, let's take for example, a mother, a father tells their children about the Sabbath, And they like, okay, mom and dad, okay. And then mom and dad pass away and they realize, you know what? My mom and dad were right. I'm going to obey what they said. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day. All right. So the subject of the mark of the beast intrigues and captivates the attention of countless millions of people around the world. A Google search on the controversial subject of the mark of the beast has a whopping 181 million results. Mark of the Beast, 181 million. Antichrist, 17 million. Sabbath, 56 million. Vatican, 174 million. Book of Revelation, 106 million. Once again, let us read God's last call to this perishing world, the three angels' messages that contain some of the keys to unlock some of the greatest mysteries of the mark of the beast. Remember, we cannot afford to engage in fancy guesswork or be content with a superficial interest in this topic because these are life and death issues that affect all of us. Our world is racing toward the final showdown between good and evil. And now is the time to slow down and go deep in our Bible study of end time prophecies of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So we've already read this. I'm not going to read it again because we've already been very thorough with reading this in the seminar there. But what about the mark on their right hand or on their foreheads and not being able to buy or sell? What about that? The dragon was enraged with the woman. Who's the woman? The church. And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. These powerful verses reveal God's final warning to the world, and in them we discover a number of vital facts about the infamous mark of the beast. Number one, everyone will be found worshiping the Creator or worshiping the beast. The stark contrast is drawn here for good reason. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Worship the beast, Roman papal power, in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hands. Since the beast power is the Roman papal power, we can know categorically that this is religious false worship promoted by a corrupt religious power. So clearly the end time showdown central issue is over religious worship. The important term worship is used 198 times in the New King James Version. The term worthy is used 51 times. Is this an important topic? Yes, it is. Number two, ultimately, everyone receives either the seal of God or the mark of the beast based on their moral decisions. The entire world will be polarized into these two groups. Everyone will need to choose between true worship versus false worship, a choice between the true day of worship and a counterfeit false day of worship. Number three, like the seal of God and its counterpart, the mark of the beast are not a literal or physical one, but is symbolic. Here is more proof, for example, that the seal of God is not visible except to God. Literal, figurative. What kind of beast is it? Symbolic beast. What about the image? Symbolic image. Symbolic name. Symbolic number. Symbolic seal. Symbolic mark. That's right. So as the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on their foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that are done within it. That was symbolic. God wasn't literally putting a tattoo on them. So you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. That's symbolic. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye, symbolic. Bind them on your fingers, symbolic. Write them on the tablet of your heart, symbolic. So the mark of the beast is symbolic. That's right. So number four, a key point is that the mark of the beast is the opposite of the seal of God. Therefore, Sunday is the mark of the beast, but nobody has it yet. That'll happen when the national Sunday law goes forth. But I'm telling you, a Sunday law could come in through the Democrats. It could come in through the Republicans. I personally believe it's going to come in through both. Because I believe it's going to be a popular demand. It's not going to be one group, you know, and the country divided. One group finally is able to become a little more powerful, but the nation is divided 50-50, you know, which is usually the way it goes. That's not how it's going to be. It's going to be the popular demand putting pressure on the political leaders to have a national Sunday law. Number five, what does the Roman Catholic Church claim as a sign of their religious power and authority? The Roman Catholic Church makes the outrageous, inflated, false claims that God gave them the authority to change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Therefore, Sunday is their admitted mark. Listen to these absolutely presumptuous, shameless claims. And I see the time. I'm trying to draw to a close. Of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change was their act. It could not have been otherwise, as none in those days would have dreamed of doing anything in matters spiritual, ecclesiastical, and religious without her. And the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical power and authority in religious matters. The Catholic Church is saying, what are they saying? They're saying that Sunday observance, that is a sign that God gave us the authority to change the Ten Commandments. And Protestant churches are honoring Sunday that came from the Catholic Church, worshiping the first beast without even knowing it. Now, I believe many people who keep Sunday never kept Saturday. I believe many of them are going to be saved because they didn't know better. It's when God does not hold us accountable for what we don't know. He holds us accountable for what he reveals to us. But how many want to have a good attitude, say, Lord, whatever you wrote in your word, I want to follow that. So the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is a homage they pay in spite of themselves to the authority of the Catholic Church. That's a Catholic quote. The Catholic Church is right. When people choose to obey the church rather than God in the matters of their chosen day of worship, that day then becomes the mark of authority of that church. Here's what it says at Catholic sources from the Catholic record, September 1, 1923. Sunday is our mark of authority. That's what they believe. It's a mark of their authority. The church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. There it is, my friends. The Bible says, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. The Catholic Church says, no. By my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep holy the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. That's Father Enright, former president of Redemptorist College. So the number six, the Roman Catholic Church has created a direct counterfeit to the seventh-day Sabbath and replacing it with Sunday worship. A counterfeit is dangerous only when it looks so real that it fools people. And Sunday seems almost like the real Sabbath of the Bible. It's the very next day to the seventh, so it can't be much closer in that respect. And so Satan's counterfeits so closely resemble the genuine that they deceive those willing to be deceived. The Roman papal power has many counterfeits that may seem to closely resemble genuine Bible-based beliefs, but are not genuine. Watch this. Infant baptism instead of baptism by immersion. Confession to a priest instead of confession of sins to God alone. Church tradition versus Bible truth. Declaring the Mass to be the real flesh of Jesus versus symbolic Lord's Supper. Sunday worship instead of the Sabbath. The truth of God's word exposes these counterfeits for what they are. Jesus promised, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I could go for another half an hour, but I'm not going to do that. Amen. What do you think about what you've heard? Amen. We've covered a lot of ground. And you made it. Now what are you going to do with it? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You may love family, but Jesus must come first. You may love your job, but Jesus must come first. Put Jesus first in everything you do. I think about Jesus dying on the cross, and he rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day. So even in his death, he was honoring the Sabbath in that way. God ordained that it would be that way. It was not by accident that Jesus died on the preparation day and rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day. So as a Seventh-day Adventist, I know that when I think about the seventh day, I think about Jesus resting in the tomb. And yes, he came forth on the first day of the week, but he never told us to honor that day. He told us rather, keep his commandments holy. So I wonder tonight, how many would like to say, Jesus, I want to follow you with all of my heart, all of my strength. You just raise your hand, praise God. Let's pray. Oh, my Father in heaven, I thank you so much that you love us. You are watching over us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you, dear Lord. Oh, Lord, you are so good to us. I pray that you would fill us with the Holy Spirit. And as we go home, Lord, help us to go home with joy. And I, once again, I pray a special blessing on the mothers and grandmothers here tonight. I pray help them to be of good courage. So, Lord, with every head bowed and eye closed, oh, Jesus, help us to trust you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.